We're about to go to Chocolate City.
Let's get it!
The capital of the United States.
Woo! You know, haters are haters, you know. They control the mouth.
Merry Christmas, little man!
Commitment to fucking playing defense.
I'm not eating cat food either.
What's this all about? We're on the kiss cam. I feel a little reluctant to take that.
How sweet.
That thing was really strong.
Look out, Nene and Butler, butting heads, looking at each other.
Broadcasting from the capital of the free world, this is Zardcast.
Welcome to Zardcast. I'm your host, C.T. Schwenk. Thank you for joining us. Tuesday, March 30... No, it's not the 31st. The 21st. This note sheet's a disaster already, you guys. 2017, at Zardcast on Twitter. We are your Wizards podcast on the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. So you can find all our episodes at almightyballer.com, zardcast.com as well. You can also find us on iTunes, Google Play, Blog Talk Radio, Overcast, Player FM, Stitcher, Acast. Tune in, but subscribing is the best way to get the show. I was listening to a podcast earlier this week, and the host was talking about people complaining, like, oh man, like it's not on iTunes yet, it's not on iTunes, but iTunes is a directory. If you subscribe, it shows up as soon as it's there, but if you're just looking in iTunes, it might not show up for, you know, a couple hours after it's posted, so.
I did not know that.
That's really valuable information.
Yeah, so we want people to subscribe. Those voices. David Keffer, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm glad to be podding. Not exactly thrilled about what we're going to be talking about, but we'll clear the air. It'll be cathartic, I hope, for all of us.
Gary Jones.
Yeah, happy to be here as well. Feeling good. Let's talk it out.
Yeah, a little bit of therapy here going on tonight. We'll get through it. Before we get into that, just I teased some big-ish news last week. I don't really know how big inside this room it is, but in terms of the network and Almighty Baller, it is big news. So the deal is the Almighty Baller Podcast Network is now going to be on an application called Dash. Dash is, it's a streaming music application, no commercials. It's like an online radio app created by DJ Ski, who I did not know about this fellow. I'll get into him in a second. Have either of you guys heard of him before?
I've heard of Ski-Lo. He did, I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller, I think.
Okay.
He did.
I've heard of Ski Ball before, but not DJ Ski. So this guy, he created this app. Apparently he was tired of the radio and not playing what he wanted it to play. So he made this app, and he has a partnership with a bunch of car makers. So if you buy like a new Ford or an Acura or something, this app is going to show up in your car. I don't know how relevant that is to our listeners, but the point is, this is kind of like a baked-in app thing. If you go into that app, you can subscribe to the app totally for free, or I'm sorry, download it on your smartphone or your tablet or whatever. We're going to be the first sports station on there. A bunch of different people have their own music stations. I think they just signed Lil Wayne to have his own exclusive station. Think like a Beats One station, like how Dr. Dre has his thing, if you're familiar with that. But so we'll be on there. Zardcast will be a part of it. We're going to be on, if you happen to be listening to this app, again, not really impacting us in this room, the podcasters who listen through that avenue. But 1 o'clock on Thursdays is when Zardcast will show up on the app under the Almighty Baller Radio Network channel. And yeah, you can hear our beautiful voices on there. So, but what that means for you, because, you know, obviously most people are going to be listening to the podcast. We're just trying to get out there. We're on board with the network. There's 5 million people who have this application, so just more potential ears for us to nestle in between. But basically, nothing's really changing. If you're listening to the podcast, when we get to the hour-ish mark, we will just throw it to a quick break, and then we will press on as usual. If you are listening, though, on the Dash application, it'll just be a tease, a little more incentive for you to seek out the rest of this episode and hit subscribe so you don't have to wait like a baboon until 1 o'clock on Thursday afternoon. So that's the plan. So with this episode, we're going to do it. I'll probably give the guys a heads up about 10 minutes till we need to take a break. With whatever we're talking about, we'll just wind it down. Or we'll, you know, just basically press pause, say goodbye to the radio listeners, and carry on until we're done. Because this is an open-ended form.
My main question is when we're going to get a list of the makes and models of the cars that are going to carry this. I figure the listeners will want to know. They're in the market for a car. They don't even need one, but they just want to get this app. They'll need to know what to get.
I want to say,
and they'll probably only drive their cars like from 1 to 2 on Thursdays.
Sure.
Makes sense. I think Fords, Acuras, Subarus. The list was actually pretty long. I was surprised. I think it's Ford heavy by American. But yeah, that's a good point.
So if you needed a reason to buy a new car, you just got one.
Excellent. Just one. So I pulled up like actual language from the Dash website about what this is all about. Dash Radio was created by the world's biggest DJ who became fed up with the limitations of regular FM radio. 24/7 live for free. I'll skip all that. What I did find out about DJ Ski rose to fame as the first DJ to discover and play superstar artists on the radio, including Kendrick Lamar, Justin Bieber, Akon, Lorde, and Lady Gaga. Mark Cuban once called him the Oprah of music. So he, I guess he's influential, well-known.
We'll have to get him on the show.
Yeah, he did go on The Howl, the Timberwolves podcast on the Almighty Baller Network. So if you want to see what he's about, he talks about it on there.
I think we should just get Oprah herself.
I
think she'd be a great guest.
Do you think she'd call us the Oprah of podcasts?
Probably.
If we could coax her to do that, I mean, I feel like that'd be big time for us. All right, gentlemen. Any other questions about Dash?
Just Wikipedia. DJ Ski is a white guy.
Yes.
Did not expect that.
What's his real name?
Scott Keeney.
Well, let's get into it then, guys. We got 4 games to discuss. Not really an exciting week, which is unfortunate because we had a really fun week last week. 4 wins to talk about, probably like the high point of the season. We called it like the crescendo hype thing in the last episode. 4 road wins at that. And, you know, I come back into town. They lose to the Timberwolves, which we discussed. But then they also lost to the Mavericks. Scraped by the Bulls. And then lost to the Hornets and the dreaded Celtics, which I think should be our starting point for this evening.
You know, for a song to have a crescendo, it's got to have low points, right? Can't have the crescendo without whatever the term for low points is.
So, the Wiz, you guys. 112. Oh, no, wrong score. Botching it already. Oh, man. Nope, not on that note sheet either because I wrote it wrong on the sheet, so we'll keep this in for laughs. 110-102, losers in Boston. A completely miserable game, nearly unwatchable, which I kind of shifted to doing laundry toward the end of this. Just could be curtains for the 2 seed at this point. You know, pretty much in scrap for 3 now. That 4 seed is a bad spot to be in. And just kind of more Wizards defensive inefficiencies, more terrible rebounding from the Wizards. When Kelly Olynyk is having himself a day, that's when you know it's bad. And this was pretty much over, you know, in the middle of the second quarter, essentially. You know, the Wiz did make your standard NBA run towards the end of the fourth to try and get back in a little bit, but that was very short-lived and minor enough.
I had one moment of hope at the end of the third. They got it down from like 20 to 15 really quickly, and then they had the ball. And I thought, you know, if they can score here and go into the fourth down 13 with the momentum, I felt good about it. And instead, I don't remember if it was a turnover or what, but it went from them having an opportunity to go down 13 instead. The Celtics got it, scored again, and then I was...
Was that when there was that... Marcus Smart drew that charge, standing out of bounds?
No, I don't think so. I don't know. I just know it went from a hopeful moment to, like, a crushing moment in the blink of an eye.
I had a whole bunch of hopeful moments. I'm a real sucker. Like that.
Like Kelly Oubre was trying to do it in the fourth.
Yeah. I'm just a real idiot. There's basically no point where I'm like, oh, they definitely can't win. And then...
Well, the week before, you'd been given that, You know, there had been truth to that kind of opinion, so you had reason to think that.
Yeah. That stretch where Kelly Oubre was just stealing the ball every time. A little before that, when Jason Smith hit a couple threes, then, of course, he immediately fouled out right after that. It was grim.
Yeah. Just really bad all around. Grim Reaper was in the building, too.
What a bunch of jerks.
Brad had, what, like 16 points when he had like 13 in the first quarter or something like that?
John was pretty ineffective for almost the whole game. I don't know whether to feel really bad about this because it was just like a complete failure in like every facet. I mean, John and Brad played probably their worst like collective game together. The Celtics had the most offensive rebounds they've had in 2 years. we turned it over all the time. We're just missing so many wide open shots.
Or
to take it as like, well, if that's like as bad as it can get, you know what I mean? That's not going to happen again. They're not going to have 20 offensive rebounds again. The whole team isn't going to shoot like poop again. Hopefully. I don't know.
I will definitely... John and Brad, terrible collective game. They both, John 16, Brad 19 points. Small silver lining of that, you guys. John only played about 34 minutes, and Brad played about 33. Got a little bit of rest because they're going to need it. We'll get into long term here at the end, but that is a plus side. You're right, and I think if this is the bottom against the second seed in the East. They've got some opportunities to get wins. Although the window now is very tight for that 50 game threshold, which is,
I think that's basically dead.
They have 12 games left, something like that.
And four of them are against the Warriors, Jazz, Clippers, Cavs. Yeah. And then
I think they got
the Heat twice in there.
And they got Detroit as well.
Yeah, I think they got
Brooklyn, they got LA.
They would have to win basically, I think all of the games other than Clippers, Jazz, Warriors, Cavs. That's a tall task.
Yeah. That is exactly right.
For the week as a whole, it was definitely a down week, like you guys are saying. I think you're going to have them every once in a while, so it wasn't too discouraging from that end for me. What last night's game, though, was simply because I think it was the first time they have faced the Celtics at full strength this whole season. They've either been missing Horford or Bradley or Crowder or some combination of them every time they've played, and last night they played the full-strength Celtics and got smashed pretty handily. I don't think it was directly because of that, but definitely contributed. Bradley played great.
Yeah, and they've definitely ceded a lot of the mental edge that they probably had after that last game, after the funeral, which is not ideal if we're going to play them in the playoffs.
I think it'll be a different animal in the playoffs.
Yeah,
I'm not super worried about that.
I just think if we had taken this one, would have really been in the Celtics' head at that point,
or even just in their own head. Even if the Celtics weren't bothered by it, just the confidence they would have could be big.
Well, in terms of like the big picture over the last, I don't know, since the All-Star break, I think the defense has been 25th in the league. And that, I don't know how worried to be about that. I don't know what you guys think, because they were like 9th in the league before the All-Star break. And added Mahinmi. I don't really know what the cause of that is. It seems tough to imagine that they just aren't trying on defense anymore. I don't know.
Maybe it's a little bit of, up until, the last week or so, they were like grinding and pulling out wins.
Yeah.
Maybe at this point it's just kind of caught up to them, especially for the starters. They played half a season plus without a bench, essentially.
Yeah, that would be bad if that's the case, that they're just really worn down. I'm hoping, I think the optimistic take on it is that they're adding in all these new pieces using these new rotations. And when you're on all these long road trips, you can't practice really. Mm-hmm. I think they practiced like 3 or 4 times in the last few weeks.
So. They had one like recently, and that was a rarity.
Yeah. So yeah. Maybe if they can just get back to the X's and O's and figure out what they're doing, but there's not a lot of time to do that.
Dave, you know what they say about the X's and O's?
What do they say?
Sometimes it's more about the Jimmies and the Joes.
Who says that and what does it mean?
It means it's not all about what you draw up in the playbook, Dave. It's about the heart on the field.
Oh, man. I hope nobody ever says that to me.
No, I think that's you're onto something there. That's definitely a possibility. I like the one guy. We should give him some shine here. Kelly Oubre has stepped it up on defense the last couple of games.
Yeah, he was a maniac last night.
Mm-hmm. Played well against Jimmy Butler the other night, too.
And Kemba Walker.
Last night, he's in the fourth, he seemed like the only dude who hadn't given up. Not, in, you know, they were all still playing, but he was like...
Him and Jason Smith, too.
Yeah, he was in the mode where, like, he wasn't accepting that it was unrealistic.
Right. He can be so frustrating to watch, though. There were a couple times where he would steal the ball and then just, like, dribble it off his own foot or just, like, drop it into the other team's hands. He's got some really bad hands, I think. He just can't hold on to the ball. That one play near the end where he stole it twice, mm-hmm. and then they still couldn't come up with it. That was rough.
Jason Smith, as we mentioned before, 13 points. Boyan had 14. Not that big a deal. Just noting.
Jason Smith has been hitting some threes lately. That's another positive thing. He wasn't really shooting that many early in the year.
3 for 5 last night.
Yeah. Yeah, he's definitely not taking 5 in a game, I don't think.
Yeah, shooting like 3, probably for the best. But if they're going down... All right, gentlemen. Let's that was unfortunate. Let's move on. Let's go all the way back to a week ago. Wiz lose to the friggin' Mavericks, 112-107. They basically had this game for 3 quarters. And then they allowed 39 points in the fourth quarter. They allowed Seth Curry to drop in 10. Dirk was beasting on him. You know, just another collapse of the defense. 24-7 run by the Mavs to close it out. Just another disaster we are discussing here. And John Wall was almost hurt. He might still be hobbled, which is concerning, but we had a true scare there.
This guy, Nicholas Brusino, I'd never heard of him before. He had 11 points. What a jerk.
Bad
times.
The Wall injury didn't look bad at all when it happened, but then I was still just like filled with dread when he like went back to the locker room.
Really would have just
like not even, well, he was not even, couldn't even do it under his own power at first. And then he just came back, started third. He was fine, but definitely was terrifying for a moment there.
And I was, I was scared even when he came back in because the Wizards so quickly were like sprained foot, likely to return. I obviously don't know anything about x-rays, but can you do an x-ray that fast in like 10 minutes, get the results? And because they said his, they said his wrist wasn't broken too. And then it turns out it was in like 5 places. So I was afraid he was going to come back in, hurt it worse, or, you know, after the game, it would turn out he was seriously hurt. But that doesn't seem to be the case.
Yeah, hopefully. I feel like you can do an x-ray really quickly.
I don't know.
I feel like they churn them out pretty fast.
I just don't trust those guys. I don't trust doctors in general.
I'm kind of with you.
They're always trying to get one over on you.
I feel more strongly about dentists that way, but...
Oh, for sure.
That's me. Because the thing about dentists is, like, if someone's jobbing you, like, with your car or something, you can, like, go to someone you know. Or be like, hey, can you check out my car? Like, right. You can find someone who's reputable. Dentists. You don't know many other dentists. You can't be like, hey, let me lift the hood up. Check this out. Do I really need a root canal or is it just filling worthy?
There are any dentists out there. Just know we don't trust you. We know what you're up to.
I really don't like the dentist. I had a dentist laugh at me over like me like being super tense over getting a filling.
I'm pretty terrified of the dentist, but I do think I trust them. That's not a field where I go and I like if they're like, oh man, your teeth are jacked up, you needed this, I would probably be like, well, that sucks. All right, let's do it. But I'm also like I hate going.
That's pretty naive of you, to be honest. But
I got friggin' laughed at by a dentist and the aid person, and that ever since that day, I don't think I've gone back to a dentist since then.
Well, look,
and I'm definitely don't trust them.
Why would a normal human being become a dentist? Like, you think you want to put your hand in strangers' mouths all day, every day, for your whole life?
I've got a pretty scarring memory from the dentist when I was a young kid. I don't remember how old I was. And looking back on it now, I understand that this is a ploy that the dentist and nurse had like worked out that they probably used all the time. But as a kid, I didn't know that. And it like really stuck with me and haunted me. But I had gone to the dentist, you know, every 6 months or whatever when you're supposed to, real young. And always no cavity, no cavity, no cavity. And then eventually I had a cavity and the doctor and the nurse are like talking about it. And I just remember him looking at her being real sad and just saying something like, gosh, isn't it so sad when the good ones go bad? Trying to like shame me into better dental hygiene.
Did it work? Have you had cavity since?
Yeah. And maybe it had the reverse effect.
See, you know, you're building me up. You're building up my case. Rude.
Yeah.
Disrespectful.
They sent you into a shame spiral.
Yeah. You've never gotten out of it.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
All these years later.
This is the most anti-dentite segment we've ever done.
I was hoping you'd say that. You know what? That's a good segment to segue. Because there is a win to talk about. Victory over the Bulls. Yes. 112-107. Dave, we had a nice little evening together. We recorded the second half. We met at Chupacabra, got some burritos with our ladies, and watched the second half while we booked a trip to Ecuador.
So this note on your note sheet was incredibly confusing to read. The way it's written, having not been there, says CT and Dave had Chupacabra and booked a trip to Ecuador.
I can see how that could be confusing, but all true, all true.
If you guys aren't familiar with the Chupacabra, it's on H Street, H and 9th Northeast. I highly recommend it. Great tacos. They got burritos now. They just reopened for the spring.
Very exciting. Big, big thing in your life, especially because it is literally on the other side of the block from where you live.
Oh, yes, man. Insider info.
Oh, man. I hope I didn't get too personal there.
No,
but yeah, I mean, that's easy.
Yep, right through the alley.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all about convenience. I'm also extremely excited about the Whole Foods that opened up. Went there, grabbed a sandwich before I came over here today.
Oh, nice. Good move. I hear they have a bar in there.
I think the whole, or upstairs, yeah, there's like the whole thing is a bar.
Gonna have to check it out.
Seems strange, but yeah, I'll give it a shot.
Definitely into it. Whole Foods always have good craft beer selections at not like the corner store prices, you know?
Yeah.
It's probably like a kombucha bar or something.
God, let's hope
I definitely wouldn't be surprised. But it's extremely efficient to get in and out over there, which is great because the Giant down the street is a disaster. The worst self-checkout I've ever seen. Nobody knows how to use it. Nobody comes to help you. If it breaks, you're just standing there looking around.
I think the we can divert for another second here. The way that Whole Foods and Trader Joe's, I'm not trying to sound like a grocery store elitist here, but the way that they have everyone line up in the same line and then they like point you down, I think that's way faster than like 19 separate lines.
It is. I think I saw like one of those dumb like knockoff TED Talks, you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
That was about that, about how, and it's kind of
Ned Talks.
Yeah, Ned Talk. It's counterintuitive, but yeah, it is faster to just do one line.
Seems like it works.
The Whole Foods line at the one closest to me is horrendous.
Yeah.
Did they close that one down briefly?
It closed for a day due to health code violations. It reopened within 24 hours.
I heard that health code violations means rat problem.
Yeah, that's what I heard as well. But the line there, so there's your standard normal grocery store lines, and then they have an express line. The express line, the exit path of the express line is back into the line.
Yeah.
It's just terrible.
I know what you're talking about.
As a result, I go to Giant.
Good call. I'm a Safeway man when it comes to my day-to-day grocery shopping.
That Safeway where we used to live was a great Safeway.
Yeah, very good Safeway. The one over here in Capitol Hill is, if that one was like an 8.5, this one's probably more like a 7. So it's still solid, but you know, the Harris Teeter down the street is like a straight up 5.
Mm.
Not a fan. Cramped quarters in there.
It's and really important to have a good grocery store.
And not
store.
A good selection either. You know what I always judge a grocery store by? Their salsa selection.
Mm.
If you have a terrible salsa selection, I'm out.
Tweet us your favorite grocery store. hashtag Zardcast best groceries. Let us know what you think. We want to hear from people.
And also your thoughts on dentists. Hashtag Zardcast anti-dentites. let's touch on this game real quick. Yes, it's true. Dave and I are going to Ecuador together.
When? That's awesome.
September.
Cool.
Some week in there. Don't know.
Guess we'll have a Just Gary pod.
It'll be preseason. If you want to look at it coming, it's not that expensive.
Yeah, doesn't seem likely.
Well, we hashed out our flights. Well, John Wall, career high, 20 assists. Been knocking on the door all season. He finally crosses the threshold. And thankfully, in a win. Because again, Wizards, 19-point halftime lead. And then it kind of crumbled in the fourth quarter. And they had to dig themselves out. So
I've been waiting for this. Main thing I've been rooting for all year has been this 20 assist game. And I missed this game.
Oh, no.
I missed it and Saturday because I was down in Virginia Beach for Tie Tie Baby's marathon. She completed it. Shout out.
Woo!
But, yeah, so the 20 assist game, I missed it. Son of a gun.
Terribly sorry to hear that.
It really wasn't a very good game. I think, to be honest with you guys, they were a little generous with some of those assists. I didn't think it was one of his best passing games. I mean, obviously he got a ton of assists, but he didn't miss that much is what I'm saying.
Thanks for saying that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say the game was very blurry to me because I started drinking at 2 o'clock. So by the time I made it at old Dave's house, NCAA basketball beers definitely makes it like one of the drunker weekends of the year.
Yeah, you didn't do your bracket this year. You stuck true to what you said last year about being a one and done.
Yep.
You're a Calipari bracket guy.
I feel like I've gone up and down with the brackets. Like this year I didn't do any. Last year I think I did 2. The year before that I did like 6 of them. And then, like, before that, it had been, like, 3 years where I didn't do a bracket, so.
My pool that I run, there's 51 entries this year.
How much was it an entry?
$10. I am the only person to put UCLA as the winner, so I'm just riding that Lonzo train.
Oh, nice.
Hoping he comes through for me.
That's a solid tradition. You always run the giant bracket pool.
Yeah.
See how many people you can get in there. Love when you have to hound people. Who are these screen names? What do they mean? Yeah. Show yourself.
No one has claimed Seta Harry Testes yet. That was the one. There were 5 entries. I couldn't figure out who they were, and I posted in the group, claim these if they're yours, and no one stepped forward for Seta Harry Testes. Shockingly.
Only other thing I got on this Bulls game here. Nice night from the bench. Boyan had 12. Jason Smith, I think a season-high 17.
Jesus Christ, that's Jason.
Jan Mahimny had 16. And Brandon Jennings, 8 assists as well.
Iron behind my. Iron behind my.
God, if they didn't win that, I mean, this week was already disastrous, but they needed one in there. Good Lord. On to Saturday here. Wiz at Charlotte. 98-93 losers. This was kind of like the inverse of what has been happening. They played pretty good defense, but they just could not score. I felt like, Dave, we spent a lot of time together this weekend. We were watching, and every shot, like in that fourth quarter especially, we were just like waiting for him to fall. Nope, nope, nope. Like wide open looks. Just nothing. So,
yeah, it was really, really tough to watch. Maybe the ugliest game of the year. Just nobody doing anything good or fun.
Yeah, not ideal.
Except you guys playing some beer pong.
Yeah, buddy. 3-0 over here. What? Dave, suck it.
I wasn't even there. I just inferred it from the notes.
Yeah.
Good notes.
I just got the hankering, and you know, I can't even remember the last time I played beer pong, and yeah, a couple matches. I rotated partners between my brother and my girlfriend, and Dave stayed tried and true to his lady, which might have been to his detriment.
No,
you gonna put that one on yourself.
No, your very elbows noble. Were over the table.
Okay.
I didn't want to say anything since it was your house, but.
We had a revelation, too. We did water cups. You know, we were like, why did we play with, like, in the nastiest places ever with beer in our cups and just let the ball roll around and collect dirt and dust and dog poop?
He would dunk it in that little water cup. You're like, oh, this is fine.
It's sterile. It's sterile.
I think it's like your second phase of like toughening up against germs. You know how they say like
yeah.
It's kind of good to let babies like chew on stuff that's been on the ground or whatever. Maybe you just need another dose of that from like 18 to 20 something.
It worked. Look how big and strong we grew up.
My immune system's pretty solid too. All into that. You wouldn't find that in a doctor's or a dentist's office. Only here on Zardcast.
Try to sell you those expensive vaccines that don't do anything except cause autism.
Yeah, so find the dirtiest place you can, play beer pong with beer in your cups, water cups only for cleaning, and
you don't have to worry about the measles.
Yeah. We're dispensing a lot of good advice here tonight. Probably the smartest podcast that you've listened to all week.
We didn't talk about the Brandon Jennings, Terry Rozier.
Oh, yeah.
Weird little thing.
Well, that was basically the end of the Wizards that night.
Yeah.
That's the second time that Jennings has gotten in a little dust-up, and then the other team used that as a springboard to go on a huge run. Happened against the Suns, too. That was really dumb. He was definitely, like, Jocelyn Rozier. Is that how you pronounce
it? Yeah.
But there was no reason for him to get technical.
Yeah, he didn't do the shoving. They did a little, they like bumped into each other like early on in the play, but
yeah, and if you wanted to call a defensive foul on Jennings, that's fine, but technical is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Spurred him on basically from there. I don't know what kind of run they went on, but I know it was large.
I really think it's because the referees know that the people that live in Boston, especially our Celtics fans, are just like wretched scum, and you can't count out that they'll do something violent to you if you don't make a lot of calls in their favor.
Good point. What they're known for up there. Anything else on these games, gentlemen? Before we start to look ahead and elsewhere?
Nah. Broaden that view.
First, let's... These next four games here. Got Atlanta and Brooklyn Wednesday and Friday at home, and then the big road swing begins. Honestly, these next four games are quite, three or four of them are quite winnable. But it's tougher from there, obviously. You got Cleveland on the road. You know, I think maybe it might, you know, maybe Cleveland's resting a couple guys on Saturday.
It is their second night of a back-to-back when they play that game.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And the Hawks tomorrow, Millsap and Bazemore are out, so that's good. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, three very winnable games. That fourth one, depending on who they sit.
Do you guys feel like, I know they definitely shouldn't and probably just can't, but I feel like some of the starters need a, like John and Brad need a break. Is this Brooklyn game maybe an opportunity to do that, or?
I would think so. I mean, if you can't beat Brooklyn, what are we even doing here?
Yeah, I feel like they could get one of John and Brad out for each of the Brooklyn and Laker games.
That's true.
Give them each one game off.
Yeah. Because that's about, I mean, you know, we're looking ahead and we're like, oh, they got the Heat and the Pistons, you know, to close out the season. Well, those teams are going to be fighting for playoff spots. Those are going to be tough games. So they're not really, I mean, not many opportunities. And I feel like without Millsap and Bazemore, you could maybe even argue for, you know, against Atlanta at home, but that's pretty much it. Which, not great, but.
Well, they might be locked into a spot by the time they play those last couple games anyway.
Also true.
I'm going to the Hawks game tomorrow night.
Oh, that's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I got tickets for the Hornets in a couple weeks. That does it for my Wizard season.
That's it? Playoffs?
Oh, yeah, if they make the playoffs. Or if they make the playoffs. Let's hope they hang on. But, yeah, I'll probably go to a playoff game. Tickets were cheap last time. I wonder what the market will be this time around. We went to that Raptors-Paul Pierce game.
We were at I Called Game.
And they were like $25 maybe.
Yeah.
To sit, you know, upper deck, which is fine. Don't mind it.
And then former co-host Max finagled his way down to the lower section.
Who was he sitting next to?
Some woman we met in line.
That's right.
She'd driven up from like North Carolina for the game and didn't have anyone to sit with. She was about to sell her tickets.
Oh my gosh.
He was like, no, I'll sit with you.
Forgot all about that. Dave tried to scrub it from his memory, but.
Why?
Well, you know, you just had your stripes with our old co-host, you know?
Creative differences.
That's what you want to call them. All right. Let me do a quick live read here. Let's do that. You guys ever hear of SteinerSports.com?
I have not. Lay it on me.
They are the leading producer of authentic sports memorabilia and hand-signed collectibles. And if you listen, you know, obviously you're listening right now, and you're like, hey, that's what I'm into. I'm kind of into it. I have a Matt Wieters baseball sign sitting right behind me. You could probably find that on SteinerSports.com. Use the promo code ALMIGHTY at checkout, and you'll get 20% off your purchase. If you wanted, let's look up something Wizards here. Okay, well, if you really want a used game net, SteinerSports.com is the place to go. What about John Wall? That might be more of a fruitful search.
There we go.
Okay, bunch of signed John Wall stuff here. You got a basketball. You got a framed photo collage with game used. I don't know what game used thing it comes with, but hey, free framing too. Game used basketball. Okay, $60. The promo code in here.
That makes it $48.
This would look nice in the podcast studio here.
It would go great next to All You Need Is Love and a Cat.
I think so too. So yeah, SteinerSports.com. Almighty is the code that gets you 20% off. Please do check them out as they are a fine sponsor of the Almighty Baller Podcast Network, Almighty Baller Radio too, as well. I don't know which one we're going with these days, but we'll throw them both out there. Let's look at the Eastern Conference meow. We kind of cover the big stuff at the beginning. The Wizards are sitting in the three hole.
They're only a game up on the Raptors now. That was the real troubling thing of
Mm-hmm.
In addition to slipping from the Celtics, that.
And the Raptors have the tiebreaker against the Wiz.
They're down 5 at half to the Bulls right now.
That's good.
Got to be keeping an eye on them. So really, I mean, it's the Hawks are the Wiz are 5 games ahead of the Hawks for the 5 seed. So it seems like, you know, don't want to lock it up now, but home court advantage is pretty much the Wizards to be had. It's just a matter of hanging on to that 3 seed. That's going to be quite imperative. Because then if you get in the 4 slot, you got to face the Hawks and then assumedly the Cavaliers. So that's where things stand at the moment. I guess we could run through the rest of them. Hawks 5, Pacers 6, Bucks 7, Heat 8, and that Heat Pistons rumble for the 8 spot is it's tight. They're both 34 and 36. You got the Bulls a game out, game and a half out too. So it's competitive, gentlemen. I'm just nervous is all.
It'll be interesting to see how this shakes out. I really don't want to see the Heat in the playoffs at all. They could definitely get up there to that 6th seed. Although the Pacers are kind of coming on. But yeah, that really 6 through 10 could end up pretty much any order there. I guess the Bulls are probably going to fall out. But 6 through 9, pretty interchangeable.
You know, I'm not really crazy about facing any of these teams. I mean, Pacers are coming on. Wiz have had their struggles with the Bucks. They've definitely had their struggles against the Heat. Only one I could envision beating, you know, with some sort of confidence would be the Pistons.
Yeah, Pistons would definitely be my ideal first round.
I don't know. I get where you're coming from. They just had a really bad week, but if you can't feel confident against these teams that we felt confident against, like, the whole season, you know, what are we even talking about their second-round opponent for or anything like that?
Yeah, it's just...
And I think it could be a scrappy, tougher series than we were thinking, but I think if they play any of 5 seed down, I'd be pretty confident going into that in the series.
Yeah, I would too. Miami's been as good as
Miami would be the scariest one.
Any team in the league over the last few months. Paul George can always do crazy stuff. He loves to blow up against the Wizards. So that would be my real fear there. And then Giannis is another guy. I mean, he's like a top 10 player in the league at times. So.
Yeah, the Pacers team is just such a mess around George. The Bucks, I don't think they've got enough firepower. The Heat, they are scary. So hopefully they'll stay down at that 8 spot.
That would be so humiliating if the Wizards' best season in decades is ended by Dion Waiters, a team that started out 11-30.
I think a first round loss, no matter what, would be pretty disastrous. Even if the Wiz, they go 6-6 down the stretch here, I mean, I think, yeah, first round exit would be really, really bad. Because even if they go 6-6 down the stretch, you know, that's a good season.
For sure.
By just about all measurements. Maybe not adjusted expectations from January to February, but other than that, successful season. They lose in the first round. That puts a damper on things. But we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Yeah.
And that'll make our end of season Zard party only, you know, an hour or so. So, hey.
I don't want to get negative about it. I've been pretty negative on the podcast so far tonight. I apologize for that.
It's not you. It's not you, Dave.
Taking some shots at the different medical professionals, all of Boston. I didn't mean to do that.
Have either of you listened to the Drake album or whatever he's calling it, a playlist that came out recently?
Mm-hmm.
He includes on one of the songs a voicemail from his mom where it's like a minute long. She's just concerned about the negative tone in his music and how he needs to have a brighter attitude and keep his head up and things will go his way. It's basically the gist of it.
That's something I can take to heart right now. I don't want to get – it's been such a fun season. You know, a couple weeks is not it's not time to panic or start getting doom and gloom about things yet.
You know what you need, Dave? Take me to church. Go find some God in your life. Come back to us. Let us know how it goes. Amen. 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 Gospel of David, 1921. Let's do This Week in John Wall. And then I say we take our little dash break, and then we do, Duncan, you got a little game for us. We got some pop culture detour to hit on. I listened to the end of Finding Richard Simmons. I read some things about it, so I'd like to talk about that there.
Oh, I didn't even realize it was done. I kind of fell behind.
6-week span. Nothing really.
They found him.
He's still in his house. Still in his house. All right, let's do This Week in John Wall.
Ni ha wa shi, John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall. John Wall.
John was just a boy.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall of the Washington Wizards.
A spectacular circuit shot by John Wall. Everybody do it, John Wall. Do it, John
Wall. Do it, John Wall. Not like a very like pro John Wall thing, but you know, I'm a Maryland Terrapin fan. Went to the university, West Virginia University, initially. That's where I met Gary. Been excited about their basketball squad. But with all this West Virginia hype, they talk about the Final Four team from, what was that like? Coming up on 10 years ago now, probably like 8 years ago.
Yeah, 2009.
And they beat the John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins team. And yeah, I've watched some highlights recently. A lot of that they always pop up, so that's it's still crazy to me that they didn't win the championship that year, let alone get to the Final Four.
Because they also had Bledsoe, Brandon Knight, maybe not
Brandon. No, but I think Brandon Knight was the year after, but they definitely had Bledsoe.
They had one other guy that was drafted in the first lottery.
Patrick Patterson.
Yep.
Pretty stacked.
Yeah, really. That would be one of the best teams in the league now, like in the NBA.
Yeah, totally. That's a killer starting four, or you know, or one more guy in the mix. But as far as this week in John Wall goes, career high in assists. We talked about it already, but worth mentioning again. We'd seen him have 18, 19. I wonder how many times he had 18 and 19 assists this year.
He had 19 at least twice.
Up his statisticals.
One of the 19 games, Morris botched an alley-oop dunk.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I was looking at John Wall's career numbers. Guess where he is all-time in assists per game.
In the NBA? Sounds like it's going to be high from your phrasing. 12th.
CT?
All time?
Mm-hmm.
I'll go 19.
Sixth.
Whoa!
And he's on pace, I believe, to catch and pass Isaiah Thomas for fifth. So it goes Magic Johnson, John Stockton, Chris Paul, Oscar Robertson, Isaiah Thomas, John Wall.
That's pretty good.
Okay, so I got John's stats up here, so... 8 times this year, he's hit at least 15 assists. He's had 15 three times, 16 once, 18 once, 19 twice, and then 20. Then he also has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games hitting 14, and another 7 hitting 13.
It's pretty good.
21 games this far, he's hit at least 13. You want to go all the way down to 10. 44 games. 44 of 70 so far. At least 10 assists. Is that good, you guys?
I think so.
There was a... They put a stat up, because I think he might have done it twice in a row, but the number of times that he hasn't had 20 points or 10 assists. And he's done it like a handful of times all year. He hasn't done one or the other. Been pretty consistent. Yeah, he did it against the Celtics and against the Hornets, I believe.
Good old Jonathan Hildred. He has a really handsome basketball reference picture. His beard is a little bit burly.
Any nicknames you're not familiar with on there? I love the like fake nicknames on Basketball Reference.
There's only one nickname, and I think it's perfect. I mean, Optimus Dime. Mm-hmm. That is it.
I remember when Colin Cowherd did his first John Wall screed, and he seemed to think that John Wall's nickname was J-Wow. Do you remember that? He was like,
vaguely.
He was like, and then you got J-Wow out here like, yo, dog, I'm the man.
He's the worst.
He is the worst.
Love his nude sidekick, Christine Leahy, but probably the only redeeming part of the show.
She was getting kind of dragged on basketball Twitter today. Jared Dudley was, yeah, because she said that players have too much power in the NBA. That they're making these super teams. I think it was in the context of players resting a lot, but it was not well received. People didn't like it.
It's not the greatest hot take, but that's okay.
What are your, do you have any thoughts on that's like the main topic right now?
Right.
Player rest?
I don't really think it's that big a deal.
Yeah.
Rest if you got to rest. I think they should shorten the season, absolutely. But I don't get why people are all up in arms about it. You're talking about such a small number of people. Like,
I think the best thing was what Doc Rivers said. Schedule back-to-backs, whatever. But if you're going to schedule back-to-backs, don't make the second one like a national game or you're just going to risk that happening.
Right.
If you have a like a marquee matchup and you want it to be on TV, don't make it part of a back-to-back. Seems, I mean, I know that a lot goes into scheduling, but I feel like they could make that happen.
I feel like maybe making sure that your back-to-backs are at home or something. But I think just, you know, decreasing the number of games. That's it. That's what this is all about. Like,
right.
But that'll never happen.
People always say that, and I think it's really short-sighted and like totally against what the NBA, like they like to think they're such a progressive league, you know what I mean, like forward thinking, and you know, and they say, oh well, we'll lose money if we do that. Not if you make better games. Like, that's the whole point of the conversation, is that mm-hmm. people will want to watch more if you have better games, if you have fewer games, you know, if you could turn it into like a Saturday and Thursday type thing where you have marquee games every week and you just have, you know, 60 games.
Totally.
I think you could make more money that way.
Or if they just did, if they chopped the preseason by like 2/3.
Yeah.
Keep the same number of regular season games, just spread it. You got an extra 3-4 weeks then.
Mm-hmm. The preseason is so pointless.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of ways to do it. I don't really, it seems like people just want to complain about, it's the kind of people that think like athletes are entitled and like
yeah.
the ones that want to be like, well, if you could play, you should go play. It's like, well, you don't know. You couldn't know less about it, like whether they can play or not.
Right.
Or whether they should play.
Definitely the NCAA athletes shouldn't get paid camp.
Yeah, for sure.
On that take. All right, gentlemen, should we press pause real quick?
Yeah.
So like I said before, this is going to be on Dash, 1 o'clock on Thursdays. I think there's a replay at some point, but only throwing this out there now. We're taking, you know, a little break, press pause in the conversation. If you're listening on Dash, go to almightyballer.com. You can find the rest of the episode there. We're going to be talking Pop Culture Detour, always a staple, and Duncan's got a good game. He's a good game guy, so that's a reason to check out the rest of the episode. As far as you podcasters go, except for the short dialogue, nothing is changing for you. Keep on listening. There might just be some interlude music as well. So almightyballer.com, Zardcast.com, at Zardcast on Twitter, and definitely subscribe to get the whole episode as soon as it's put out there. So if you're listening on Dash, thanks for joining us. I'm CT, for my co-hosts Dave and Gary. That was Zardcast.
I don't know at what point this song becomes recognizable.
I thought there'd be a drop. You're like looking for something. We could just keep it going. I'll just turn it down a little bit. Do you want to wait till it becomes recognizable before we play?
That's okay. It can run in the background.
Okay.
Today's game I got for you guys, we've got March Madness theme. So I'm going to have you guys complete a bracket. It's the Ernie Grunfield.
All
right. These are all the free agent signings of his tenure as GM.
Oh, that's good. All right.
So I discounted anyone who was a re-signing, like a draft pick he re-signed, or if they traded for somebody and they re-signed them, that doesn't count. Or a free agent being re-signed to a new contract doesn't count.
Right.
But anyone he brought to the team.
Okay.
And then that actually ended up being like 80 people. So what I did for the seeding and to find out who wouldn't make the field of 64... went to Basketball Reference, career war, or not war, win
this,
share.
I'm looking at your notebook. You got a lot of highlights, a lot of notes.
It took a little doing.
I'm impressed.
Career win share determined their seed, and then if the bottom few people didn't make the cut. So let's quickly read off the dead. You've got Damone Brown, Mike Hall, Cedric Jackson, Marty Collins, Adam Morrison, Mustafa Shakur, Earl Barron, Vander Blue, Xavier Silas, Damian James, Torrey Murray, Jaleel Roberts, Jerron Johnson, and Johnny O'Brien, all of whom had either zero win share or negative win share for their careers, not just their time with the Wizards. Okay. I didn't put enough work in it to do the Wizards. And then everyone else is seated accordingly. There's still a few people with zero win share in this.
Excellent.
And then I just chose them. All right.
How many names in it?
64. Don't put too much thought into your answers.
Okay.
It'll take too long. First overall seed versus the bottom overall seed, you got Gilbert Arenas versus David, son of John Stockton. Fun fact about David, son of John Stockton, he was on the team for 4 days before being waived. Never played a second in any kind of game for them. Gilbert, fun fact, first move of Ernie Grunfeld's tenure was to sign Gilbert Arenas.
Interesting. Just turn this up a little bit. Just jam it out. Go on.
Anyways, who you got? And you use whatever reasoning you want.
I don't know, John Stockton Jr. on the team for 4 days is pretty interesting.
Yeah, and he didn't saddle the franchise with a $111 million contract when he couldn't play. Let's get Gilbert Arenas out of here.
Oh, huge upset.
Later, Gilbert. All right. Next up, you've got Gennaro Pargo versus AJ Price. So there's plenty of names on here. I had no idea who they were.
Let's go. I like AJ Price.
I don't even know which Pargo that is. Is that the good one or the bad one?
I think it's the bad one.
Okay, well then.
All right, AJ Price, moving on. Up next, Marcus Thornton, your boy, versus Paul Davis.
Who's Paul Davis?
Thornton.
Thornton.
Thornton makes it. Oh, surprise. Up next, Darius Sungaila versus LeBron Prophet.
LeBron Prophet, my boy from Maryland. You can disagree with me, Dave.
I couldn't possibly.
Up next, Brandon Jennings versus Lester Hudson.
I say we give it to Jennings.
Yeah. Current Wizard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's got potential to be a valuable signing. Alonzo G versus Mitchell Butler.
Gotta be G, I guess.
Yeah.
Another thing is there's definitely people on this who never actually played a game for the Wizards. They were just signed, cut at some point. Some, like, within a month. Stockton was the shortest I saw, though. Earl Boykins or Casper Ware?
Boykins.
Yep.
Boyk. Ryan Hollins or Sean Marks?
Hollins.
Yeah, I think Hollins gave us some good minutes. That was last year, right?
Like a good 9 minutes last year.
Antonio Daniels or Daniel Ochefu?
Antonio Daniels.
Yeah. Will Bynum or Hilton Armstrong?
Bynum.
Bynum it is. Chris Whitney or my favorite name in the tournament here, Avi Story. Reminds me of the Grinch. Avi Story. Avi Story.
I think we know the answer to that matchup.
That's as good of a reason as any.
Jason Smith or Josh Harrelson?
Jason
Smith. Big white guy matchup.
Jason Smith.
Drew Gooden or Gerald Fitch?
Yeah, Uncle Drew. That's directly legend.
Alan Anderson or Cartier Martin?
Cartier Martin.
Yeah.
J.J. Hickson or Larry Owens?
I don't know who Larry Owens is.
Nope.
J.J. it is. Roger Mason or Shavlik Randolph?
Roger.
Yeah.
Raj?
Yeah. Did Shavlik Randolph go to Duke?
Yeah, he was Duke. He was a Sixer for a little bit. Oh, that's the same. All right. Oh, here's a twist. I included some sort of fake set. Not fake outs. Not players. Randy Whitman versus Donnell Taylor.
Whitman, for sure.
Juan Dixon or Ish Smith?
Juan.
Was in his return to the Wizards. Jan Mahimi or Sheldon McClellan? A couple of currents.
I'd go Jan.
Shelly.
Oh, do we need a tiebreaker?
Yeah, you pick.
I'll go Jan. Samaki Walker or Othius Jeffers?
Othius Jeffers is. Those are both good names, but.
Yeah.
Anthony Peeler or D. Brown?
D. Brown.
Garrett Temple or Eric Maynor?
Garrett Temple. That was the easiest one yet.
Sean Livingston or Jarrell Eddy?
Livingston.
Didn't Eddy like win one game?
Yeah. He just got signed by somebody.
He went to Virginia Tech. Not a fan.
Gary Neal or Linton? Don't call me Lyndon Johnson.
His name's Linton?
Linton Johnson for sure.
Scotty Brooks or Daniel House?
Let's go our man Scotty.
Michael Ruffin or Andrew Nicholson?
That's tough because Daniel Ruffin did the dumbest thing in Wizards history when he, I'm talking about that play where he tried to throw the ball up in the air with like a second left and the other team caught it and made a three-quarter court buzzer beater.
Let's push him on for that.
Okay.
Rasul Butler, Billy Thomas.
Rasul.
Rasul Sewell.
Never forget his November of last year.
Fabricio Oberto or Daniel Orton?
Oberto.
All right. Beef jerky man advances. Al, don't call me Othello Harrington or James Lang?
Uncle Cheddar.
Artie's cousin. Calvin Booth or John Lucas III?
Go John Lucas III.
Martell Webster or Kevin Pinkney?
Martell.
Deshaun Stevenson or Mike Wilkes?
Deshaun Stevenson, for sure.
All right. Round two. Stockton, AJ Price.
Stockton.
Nice.
4 days Cinderella. Of the team.
Mark Thornton or Laurent Prophet?
Laurent Prophet.
Brandon Jennings or Alonzo G?
Jennings.
It's really dark paper. Hard to read my writing now.
Boykin. Why did you print it on black background and white writing?
It was a website I had, and I only had a black and white printer. Not a lot of websites will just create your own bracket when you type in the names.
Did you print this at work?
Yeah.
What a waste of ink.
Come on now. Earl Boykins or Ryan Hollins?
Boykins.
Antonio Daniels or Will Bynum?
Daniels.
Alvy Story or Jason Smith?
Ooh.
Tough one.
Good name versus a good wizard.
You're doing some Alvy Story Googling over there?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, what is the Alvy tale?
This is a good one.
Well, it's not hooked to the soundboard, but it was still funny.
He last played in the Philippines for the Barangay Ginebra Kings.
You're making it tough for me to want to go Jason Smith with nuggets like that.
He played 25 games with the Wizards, started one game. Um, 1.7 points per game. I don't know. I think we should go Jason Smith.
Yeah.
Ready. Drew Gooden versus Cartier Martin.
Uncle Drew.
JJ Hickson versus Roger Mason.
Roger Mason.
Oh boy. Randy Whitman or Juan Dixon.
I got to go Juan Dixon, but.
Yeah.
Juan, it is. I was kind of hoping for a Witt versus Scotty matchup. You guys ruined it. Jan Mahimi versus Othius Jeffers.
Let's go Jan for what he's going to do in the playoffs this year.
That. D. Brown or Garrett Temple?
Temple.
Garrett Temple run.
Sean Livingston or Linton Johnson?
Livingston. Who doesn't like Sean Livingston?
Good point.
Josh Childress doesn't like him. They were paired together. He flamed out.
Because they both had afros?
Yeah, they're both skinny guys with afros, came in the league at the same time. In my mind, they were competitors.
Yeah, they both couldn't shoot.
Scott Brooks versus Michael Ruffin.
Scott Brooks.
Scotty B.
Rasul Butler or Fabricio Oberto?
I would say Butler.
Okay.
Al Harrington or John Lucas III?
I think you got to go with Uncle Cheddar Cheese.
Martell Webster or Deshaun Stevenson?
Deshaun Stevenson has an Abraham Lincoln neck tattoo. I think I'd go with him just for that. But
and his dual beef, he and Soulja Boy versus LeBron and Jay-Z. And
that's like, I forgot about that.
That's like one of the greatest chapters in Wizards history.
Ooh, he might be surging through the bracket here.
All right, next round. We're getting to it. We got everybody's favorite Cinderella team, David Stockton versus LaRon Prophet.
Ooh, I like both of these guys. This is tough.
Let's see.
I mean, David Stockton, 4 days, never played for the Wizards. That's pretty good. LaRon Prophet. Maryland guy. And notable bald fellow on CSN.
I don't think you're able to be objective because of your Maryland connection. I think who made a more indelible mark on the team in such a short period of time? I think it's clearly our guy Stockton.
All right. Okay. The slipper still fits.
You got Brandon Jennings versus Earl Boykins.
Boykins.
Yeah. It's the battle of small guards.
Getting tough to read over there.
Antonio Daniels, I guess, versus Jason Smith. Or is it? Yeah.
Jason Smith.
Yeah. Tough one, though.
Drew Gooden, Roger Mason.
Drew Gooden.
Man, that's going to be a the next round. All right. What we got on this one? Juan Dixon versus Jan Mahimi.
Juan Dixon.
Got to go Juan.
The heart wands with the heart wands.
Yeah, I got something in my hair. I don't really know what it is. It's kind of sticky. It's not cum, I'll tell you that. Couldn't tell you what it is. Not though.
You were just waiting until we got off Dash to say that. Garrett Temple or Sean Livingston?
Garrett Temple.
Oh, that was weird, you guys.
Scott Brooks or Rasul Butler?
Scotty B.
Al Harrington or Deshaun Stevenson?
Ooh. I think I got to ride with Deshaun Stevenson, but.
What are we down to?
Down to 8. David Stockton versus Earl Boykins.
I don't know. I mean, now that David Stockton has cleared, you know, one of my lovers, Juan Dixon. I think I'd have to lean him, but Earl Boykins is.
I would probably go with Earl Boykins.
Gary, tie break?
I had been pulling for Stockton, but at this point, I think his run has come to an end.
Okay.
Earl moves on.
So you're writing with a black pen on that black ink?
Look, man, my tools are limited to what is available to me. Here's maybe the premier matchup of the whole bracket. This is like UCLA Kentucky on Friday night. Jason Smith, Drew Gooden.
Very similar roles. Yeah,
similar contributions, roles.
Attitudes and personalities could not be more different, I think.
I think I'd lean slightly to Uncle Drew.
Yeah.
Just because I like the... The persona. No, I mean, not to say anything negative about Jason Smith.
He helped us win at least one playoff series.
Yeah. That's what, yeah. You know, if we did this a year from now, it could go the other way. But Uncle Drew has some playoff success. The Wiz.
Mm-hmm.
Juan Dixon, Garrett Temple.
You know where I stand, so. If we need a tiebreaker.
Juan Dixon was a pretty decent player on some really bad teams. Then Garrett Temple was a fairly decent player on some pretty decent teams. I do like Juan Dixon. I'll go Juan Dixon.
All right. Squeaks by. Scotty Brooks versus someone I can only assume is probably his close personal friend, Deshaun Stevenson.
Oh, man, this is tough. I mean, the LeBron beef, the $5 neck tattoo.
He's a character.
Then you got Scotty B, who's captain of the ship right now.
But really hasn't done anything funny or interesting.
I feel like he's like a really, like a very normal standard dude.
For sure.
Which is appealing about him. He's not like crazy or in one way or the other. He's just very standard, like I said.
Had a super likable Zach Lowe podcast appearance.
Mm-hmm.
He goes on the Junkies every Thursday and basically like kind of mocks them because they're like, oh, do you like the show? He's like, yeah, it's okay. Any kind of time they ask him something awkward, he kind of like he doesn't get awkward. He just gives like a weird, I don't know, like answers the question, but is like clearly like, all right, you guys, you're just getting wild on me again sort of thing. God, this is tough. I'm going to go DeShawn Stevenson.
I think that's, you can't go wrong.
On into the final four. We are down to the semifinals. Semifinal game one. Earl Boykins versus Drew Gooden.
I'd say Drew Gooden still.
Yeah.
Just good vibes as long as he was with the team.
Semifinal round two. Juan Dixon versus DeShawn Stevenson.
Yikes. This is, I thought the last round was tough. I feel like if Juan Dixon ends up winning this thing and I write that in the show notes, everyone's just going to complain, you know? Marilyn Bias on the Zard cast. Who could have seen that coming?
Well, then I think you know what you
have to do. Yeah. DeShawn advances.
Dude, DeShawn.
I will now take this opportunity to point out that this free agent signing of Juan Dixon, I was kind of hoping he'd make it through, and then I could point this out afterward, was like his second go-round with Wizards. He like barely played. I only know this because I just put this together, but it was like one season of work with the Wizards, and he played like 20 games or something.
Interesting.
So it would have been good if that won. your final for number one Ernie Grunfeld signing of all time, Drew Gooden versus DeShawn Stevenson.
You got two very different guys here. Mm-hmm. You got one who basically appeared out of nowhere, just brought good vibes, good times with him, was beloved his entire time here. DeShawn Stevenson, I just keep going back to that neck tattoo. Just can't get it out of my head.
So I'm inclined to vote for Drew Gooden because I think it would be very fitting if the best signing Ernie Grunfeld ever made was just the guy who lived nearby and was at the gym every day. So they were like, fuck it, you could be on the team.
I think that's fair.
There you go. Ding, ding, ding.
Let's do it.
The champion.
You got me.
Uncle Drew. What's appropriate?
We got to plug it in.
What's appropriate?
Other side.
I can't do it.
You got it. You got it.
Got it. Uncle Drew. Oops. I was trying to do the goodbye to you. Oh, but not the happy one. There you go. There's Uncle Drew's song.
This one also could apply.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know. We miss you. That was fun. Good game, Gary.
Thanks, man.
You know what? For that.
Knock if you buck.
Yeah, girl.
Just for funsies. Well, that looked like a lot of work, so I'm glad it turned out well, but man.
I am shocked you could read this at all.
It was tough.
He's got his glasses on. Shall we do a little pop culture detour and bounce?
Pop culture detour.
I finished the Missing Richard Simmons podcast. I know you haven't listened to the whole thing, Gary.
You can, doesn't matter. You can talk about it.
Basically, he's just in his house, and that's it. I did read, and I think I'm leaning a little bit toward this way. You brought it up last week, Dave. Like, hey, kind of invasive on the guy. And what the conclusion that the guy who does it kind of comes to is like, he likens, so basically what happens is he talks to all these people who Richard Simmons was basically like a spiritual-ish advisor to them and like inspired them to lose a lot of weight. And he talked to them all the time and, you know, how to this big impact on all these just random people throughout his life. And he kind of likened it to kind of like a superhero trying to be like, hey, like, I need to stop helping people because it's like really running me into the ground. And maybe that's it. He just decided he was done and was holed up in his house, and that's all. But, you know, a lot of questions out there on the internet. Like, is this invasive? I understand why he did it, because, like, he was friends with Richard Simmons, and, like, he just disappeared and didn't say goodbye to anyone, which is, like, really weird. And if any of your friends did that, I mean, we have a friend, Ryan Burke. Well, not really my friend anymore. Ex-friend. He knows what he did. But it wasn't him running away to Florida, because we didn't know where he was, and we wanted to know where he went, and we tried to find him. So I understand the curiosity. I would probably, if one of you guys went missing, I would definitely make a podcast about finding you, just to let you know.
Might have to run away. Kind of want to listen.
So
I guess I would have to listen to it to understand. Like you said, it sounds like he's like a hero to a lot of people. I guess maybe that is like the disconnect for me, is I didn't know people. I thought he was just kind of like a curiosity, like a funny guy. I didn't know people really looked up to him like that.
Yeah, they talked to a bunch of people, just like random people that he just like met or like reached out to through fan mail, and he inspired them to lose like 150 pounds and, you know, that sort of thing. So I kind of liked it, though. Like, the ending, I'd give it like a 3.25.
Dragon Balls.
Yeah, Dragon Balls for sure. A lot of times podcasts like that where it's like adventuring into like a mystery, a lot of times there is no clear ending, and I like that the guy was just like, eh, I didn't really know how it was going to end. This is it. We didn't get to talk to him. He's probably just in his house. Good times.
That sounds like such an unsatisfying ending to me.
But I mean, like, a lot of times, like, what can you do? You know? Like, the end of Serial. Like, what else could they do?
Right.
So I was okay with it. I enjoyed it.
Usually at the end of Serial, you get a little toy.
That's true.
That's not even true. You get it at the beginning of Serial. Time out of the box. If we're being honest.
And probably not usually either. I don't think most Serials do that.
Yeah. That's true.
It was definitely like a fleeting thing when we were growing up, so I wonder if they even do it.
I think they still do it. Go buy some sugary cereal and find out.
Hey, we could rope that into the end of your Zard party.
Yeah.
Some Beerial with toys at the end of the boxes. Could be an interesting wrinkle.
My only pop culture recommendation, I've been listening on repeat, you could say. Although it wouldn't be totally true. Album The Never Story by J.I.D., some rapper, was suggested to me based on what I've been listening to by some music app, and I like it a lot. J.I.D. Give it a listen.
I wonder if I listened to something recently that was also just recommended to me. Yep. I gave it one spin and I enjoyed it.
There you go.
I'll throw it back in tomorrow. Good rec.
Dave?
I haven't really watched anything. I've been listening to the Doughboys podcast. I don't know if I've mentioned that on this show before, but if you can get into it, it is an extremely funny show of two people who just seem to be like ruining their lives through this podcast where they review fast food. They don't really get along very well. They are like eating really unhealthily so they can review all these chain restaurants. And they've just decided to do two episodes a week and start recording in one of their houses. And I really think one of them might kill the other one.
Have to check it out. All right, guys. Let's shut it down there. At Zardcast, almightyballer.com. Subscribe on the iTunes, the Overcast, and the Google Play Store. That's all I've got.
Oh, the new Chappelle stand-ups are out.
Ooh, yeah. Did you stay up and watch them like you said you would?
I did.
Were they good?
They were good. The second one was better than the first one, I think. Second one, he was in Texas. The first one, he was in Los Angeles. But yeah, they're both good. Pretty like classic Chappelle stuff.
Nice.
Also, probably just as important to our listeners, an update from 2 weeks ago. I have switched back to my original deodorant, and I smell good again. I don't know. We didn't come to any conclusive answers about do you have to get used to a new deodorant or not, because I just went back to my old one. But that did work. If you run into me, I won't be stinky.
I know. We got some tweets where you're like, what happened with Gary and his deodorant? Thanks for
my mom and sister both texted me about it. That is not a joke. They both did. They're just concerned for my stank.
That's fair. That's very nice of them. Glad to have them as listeners, too. All right. We'll be back next week. Next Thursday is the plan. Thanks for listening. Tell a friend. And, yeah, we'll see you next week. Hopefully with more wins to talk about.